I think we got another show that's going to probably get some of you going. This guy is not altogether there. He's kind of strange. You know, for over 20 years of my life now, yeah, it's probably been that, maybe longer, I started to believe things differently. And this dates back to the early 80s, and then especially the middle and later 80s, where I totally saw things in a different light. And that was due in part to some different books and some different experiences I had, and also some video that I saw. And I started to look at life as not exactly what we were told. I don't believe that it is. And it's not that I am against our society or against anybody. I really try to look from a point of love and not to attack like many would. And there's a lot of conspiracies out there, and I tend to believe a lot of them because I think there's evidence probably to support them. But I don't want to go down that road on this show. That's not what this is about. But my guest, Jack Alice, is going to talk about what we call the shift. And what is that? And is this shift responsible in any way for a lot of the things that are going on? And I think it is. All the paranormal activity that seems to be increasing. Also, there's an understanding of ancient culture that we seem to be learning all over again as far as teachings and spiritual understanding and the connection to the planet. And Jack's really on top of all of that. So we're going to go down a road that's a little bit strange for a lot of you, probably. And it's up to you whether you choose to listen or not, or see what you get on. And you're always welcome to comment, so feel free to do so. My guest is Jack Alice this week.
Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Well, thanks for joining me for another edition of Out There. This week we have a guest. Actually, you know, it's funny how people will send me stuff, emails, and it was a good friend of mine, a gal that's been on the program before, Jennifer Couples, sent me an email about this guy by the name of Jack Alice. And I looked at his site and some of his books, and it seemed interesting, and I'm interested in all kinds of things. So Jack is on the phone this morning from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. How are you doing, Jack?
I'm doing wonderful, and you pronounced Oconomowoc well. That's good for a newbie. That's good.
Well, I'm a Youper. We're just north of you, and we've heard of a lot. There's a lot of reference to Wisconsin, and because I think Upper Michigan is very connected to Wisconsin. A lot of us become Wisconsinites. So you've been in Wisconsin how long now?
Well, this is my second stint. I was born and raised in the Milwaukee area, and I left and went to college when I was 18, and returned. I'm now 60 years old, and I returned about 8 years ago after a stint in Colorado and then a stint in Santa Barbara, California. So I've been all over the place.
And you went to school out west, is that correct?
Well, I went to school in lots of different places. I went to undergraduate school in Ohio at a college called Denison University, and then I went to graduate school at Antioch University in Santa Barbara for my master's degree in clinical psychology, and that's where I got my psychotherapy license in Santa Barbara. But that was like lifetimes ago.
In a previous lifetime.
Uh-huh.
So you are a psychotherapist, but you're also an author?
Well, I was a psychotherapist. I've kind of put that behind me now. I don't call myself a psychotherapist anymore. I legally could not call myself a psychotherapist anymore because I let my license expire and I just don't do that kind of work. Now I refer to myself, in addition to being an author, I refer to myself as a personal growth and spiritual teacher.
Okay.
And I'm not licensed by anybody except the divine spirit of a living universe, if you know what I mean.
Right. And it's a lot of wisdom, I'm guessing, over the years that's been added to this resume, right?
That's what it's all about. My whole life, 40 years or whatever, however long I've been doing this.
So now you see yourself on a path. Now, I read your book. Thank you very much. You sent me a book called Infinity's Flower. You've authored how many books now? Three?
Can we give the subtitle of that, too, just because it's
so
important?
Sure.
Infinity's Flower, A Tale of 2012 and the Great Shift of the Ages. That puts a little bit of icing on the cake.
Yes, that's what caught my attention about the book. And we'll talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind, a little bit.
Sure.
But you've authored how many books now, Jack?
Well, this is my Infinity's Flower is my third. And there is a prequel to Infinity's Flower. It was called Infinity's Children that I have self-published a little while back. And then my first novel, Masters of Destiny, is kind of in the can right now. It's all done and everything, but we need to get it officially published. But, you know, that's on the list. There's a lot of things to do.
Your book caught my eye because it's a tale of what some may say is coming as we head toward, for some reason, the magical year is 2012. And you have a perspective maybe that's similar to a lot of folks and very different from many others. Can you tell a little bit of what this book is about?
Well, sure. It's about the shift, basically. Let's get right down to the nitty-gritty. It's about the shift. And what the shift refers to, as in the title, we refer to A Tale of 2012 and the Great Shift of the Ages. And the shift basically is what we are currently experiencing, and it's something that's happening around the window, what I like to refer to as the window around 2012. Now, a lot of people have got it into their heads that there's something magical about the date December 21st, 2012, that's the actual time at which some sort of a shift or a change is going to occur, and the reason for that is because that's when the Mayan calendar ended, and there was a lot of prophecies around the Mayans had a lot of prophecies around that date, and the Indian calendar was intended to signify something. I think it's really important, though, that we don't get too stuck on any particular date or dates here, because the Mayans were really the only ones with a specific date. Of all the prophecies that I've studied, and this information that I'm delivering here, comes primarily, one of my primary sources is what I refer to as the prophecies. And what the prophecies refer to is the prophecies from ancient indigenous spiritual cultures virtually spanning the globe. In addition to the Mayas, there were the Egyptians, the Hopis, the Kogi tribe in South America, all over the planet. Indigenous spiritual cultures predicted that something monumental was going to happen in this basic window of time around the winter solstice 2012. And this is what we refer to as the shift.
Now, Jack, let me just ask you, if you don't mind me interrupting. Isn't there a cycle that goes every so many, 30-some thousand years or something like that? Isn't that kind of what it's referring to as well?
Well, that's what it is. And it is. It's a 26,000-year cycle, and this is a cycle that the Earth and our solar system goes through as it makes its journey through the galaxy. And we basically have reached that 26,000-year kind of flip-over point again where the cycle renews, starts over again. And we are at that point. And I think what people really need to know about the shift, one of my objectives here, TJ, is to make this as simple and self-evident as possible for people, excuse me, because so many people make so much of this stuff so unnecessarily complicated, and it doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to say, you know, well, what do we mean by the shift? There's two real important things people need to know about the shift. The main thing the shift refers to or means is it means a shift of the Earth's vital energy fields.
We can see that now, can't we?
That's the other thing. It refers to a shifting of the Earth's vital energy fields. It's already happening, and we could elaborate upon what that means. It means and that sort of thing if we want to. But yes, the other thing that people need to know is that the shift is happening. It's happening now. We've already reached a point where we have entered this shifting energy field. We're there. It's happening. It's in all probability. See, we don't know any of this for sure. Most of this is speculation, and most of our information comes from prophecies and spiritual sources, and some of it comes from science and from new science. But so we're dealing with the shifting of the Earth's vital energy fields. We're there. It's happening. This deals with a higher frequency energy that we are currently in the midst of, and in which we are enveloped. It's a higher frequency. It's increasing all the time. It appears to be increasing at an accelerating rate, and that's one of the reasons why people can feel so many amazing things in our world today. It just feels like time is speeding up. It feels like life itself is intensifying, and just so many other.
Do you think that
Earth changes, et cetera, et cetera?
Jack, let me ask you this. Because this show that I do deals a lot in paranormal sightings and strange things, very unusual, and some of it's ghost stuff. But I feel this stuff is increasing. Do you think that has anything to do with the shift?
The paranormal?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and it all has to do with another one of the things that the shift means is that it also is an opportunity. It's a spiritual opportunity that comes along with this shifting energy, and it's an opportunity for us essentially to shift from an old paradigm way of doing things to a new paradigm way of doing things. In other words, it's a shifting from an old world to a new world, and it's very much of a in a spiritual sense. It involves very much of an ascensional process or a raising of spirituality, a raising of consciousness, and within the context of all that, all kinds of spiritual phenomena, paranormal phenomena, all those sorts of things, yes, are to come along with this, are increasing, and they're all part of this portal, if you will, that we are currently.
So some of the strange things that we're going to see, we better get used to it because there's probably going to be more, right?
It's going to get more intense. There's no doubt about it. Not only is it going to get more intense in terms of the old paradigm coming down, but it's going to get more intense in terms of the energy and the things you and I are referring to here. Yes.
Jack Ellis is from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. We'll talk more to him in just a moment. We're talking about the shift. What is the shift? And that'll continue in just a moment on Out There.
Out There. Out There. Out There.
You know, my show is designed deliberately not to focus on anything negative or things that I think are going to scare you. Some shows, I think, do that, and they keep drawing you back because they want to have you live on fear. And the world seems to be built on that, and I'm not going to go that direction. Some of the things in this program could be seen as being a little frightful, but it's really not intended for that. This is really meant to just wake you up and maybe make you look at things a little differently. You may have heard of the shift, maybe not. If you want to find out more about Jack Ellis, go to his website. It's www.jackellis.com.
It's Out There. Out There. Out There. Out
There. Jack Ellis is my guest on Out There. My name is TJ Ryan. Thanks for listening. You know, Jack, he's written now 3 books, and I really am enjoying this current one. He sent it to me. It's Infinity's. You better tell me the name of it again.
Infinity's Flower.
Flower, and it's what?
The Tale of 2012 and the Great Shift of the Ages.
It's a story that follows a couple that, as they're going through some great changes, earth changes, and some difficult things as well, but also some great hope. And we'll leave it at that for now. But, Jack, you wanted to focus also on the great hope. There might be some very difficult changes coming our way, as you believe, and I kind of believe as well, but there's also some very positive things.
Well, when you and I were talking during the break there, you mentioned Coast to Coast and how a lot of people talk about this stuff all the time and that it tends to get people kind of worked up and frightened and those sorts of things. There is a whole doomsday element to this topic, and certainly the, we all know of a lot of religious sects that have a very big investment in the whole doomsday thing, you know, the earth kind of, you know, blowing up in a great big fiery explosion,
yes,
kind of thing. And there are a lot of people who do believe, particularly a lot of your fundamentalist Christians. I don't want to offend anybody here, but they've got a great stake in this whole kind of the doomsday aspect of this at this point. It's really important, though, for people not to get too stuck in that doomsday stuff.
No.
Because, it doesn't accomplish anything to, you know, to think that way and to be, you know, to be stuck in negativity in that way. But B, because that's not the way it is, at least not necessarily.
No.
Now, what we're dealing with here is we're dealing with a time of potentially monumental transformation. And we're talking monumental. This is very, very big. People do need to know that. Now, if that frightens people, I don't have a whole lot of control over that.
No.
Because it is big and it's going to be big. We're talking about shifting from an old paradigm to a new paradigm. We're talking about the opportunity to create a whole different world here, and we're talking about very, very significant earth changes playing a part in this. And we can all, many of us can see, who have our eyes open, can see the earth changes are already
one of those would
happening.
Be, for example, the poles starting to shift.
Well, that's the biggest. It doesn't get any bigger than that, but the pole shift is where the term the shift comes from in terms of the shifting of the north-south electromagnetic poles. And I'm not an expert on electromagnetism. I'm not a scientist, but even traditional scientists tell us that that's the way electromagnetism works, is that it wiggles around and it does as a part of its normal workings, it does shift its poles periodically.
Jack, can I ask you a question? Do you feel that we're in the middle of global warming, or is this all part of the shift?
No, global warming is another aspect of this, and that's another thing that, that people really don't get because of the garbage that we're all fed by the politicians and the media. Global warming is part of the shifting of the Earth's vital energy fields we talked about a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
And but this is not created. Global warming, certainly the, all the pollution and everything that's happening on the planet, certainly a lot of, most of that is for all of that pollution is created by mankind. But as far as global warming is concerned, you know, we are being told that, you know, it's caused by the burning of fossil fuels and that, you know, the human race is in fact, you know, heating up the planet to the point where it could, you know, result in some really bad things. That's fundamentally not true. The reason why it's not true is because the Earth is not the only place in the solar system right now that's heating up. The entire solar system is heating up. All the other planets are heating up. The sun is heating up. The whole deal is heating up, and the Earth is just heating up as a part of that. That is a feature of the shift. So global warming is 99.9% something that's independent of human beings. You know, this would be happening even if human beings weren't here. And that's yet another example of this the shifting of the energy fields that we talked about a second ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, TJ, let me get back to this whole doomsday thing, because this is probably the most important thing I'm going to be saying here today. Yes, it is true that we are facing a monumental time of monumental transformation.
Mm.
Monumental transformation, and things are probably going to intensify a whole heck of a lot more before they calm down. Not only, both in terms of the old paradigm coming down, as well as these Earth changes that that I'm referring to here.
Yeah.
But what people need to keep in mind also is that this does not mean, just simply because the old paradigm's ending, that doesn't mean that the whole thing is ending. A lot of people might believe that this is the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But within the midst of all this transformation, we also have an opportunity to create a whole entirely new world. And however, what's important to know about this is that it's up to us, basically. The fate of the planet is basically in our hands as human beings. And so it's up to us to make this happen. And our primary tools to do this, and here's where it really gets juicy. And again, this is something that was told to us by virtually all of the prophecies
mm-hmm.
that I've studied, and they all say exactly the same thing. Our primary source of protection in the face of these monumental Earth changes and the primary source of our power to make this ascensional shift that we're talking about, this shift to a new world, is our higher consciousness and our spirituality. That's where we make this happen. It's an energetic thing. It's a spiritual thing. That's the playing field that we're playing on. This is not going to be played on an old paradigm playing field. It's not going to be played in mainstream politics. It's not going to be played out, you know, in the old paradigm arenas.
And where do we... And where, how do we connect with all of that, the higher consciousness? Where does that start?
Well, it starts within the heart and soul of each and every one of us.
So it starts with our thoughts, correct?
Well, I would like to even broaden that a bit in terms of, yes, part of it is our thoughts, but when you look at what we as human beings are, we are body, mind, and spirit. So our thoughts are one part of us. We also are body and spirit, and very importantly, we are spirit. And it's simply, as far as being able to make the shift happen, it's up to us to get our energy right spiritually. And again, we could spend the whole next segment talking about how to do that.
Right.
And maybe be a good idea to do that. But so it begins within the heart and soul of each and every one of us, and it's just simply is a question of getting our energy right. And I have a feeling we're probably running out of time here, TJ's. But if you want to just kind of save that for our last segment, we can just
sure we can go down that
cover
road.
It in great depth.
See, I just believe that everything starts with thought, and then it moves on to the center of what we are and how we connect with it. But if you don't change your thought, you're not going to change the course you're on.
Well, absolutely. But our thoughts are only part of it. We need to change our thoughts, and we also need to change our feelings.
Our feelings as well. Thought
mm-hmm.
and feeling equals reality.
And thoughts and feelings are very closely connected. The way that we think has a direct effect upon how we feel about things.
Now, some people will look at what's coming forth as an apocalyptic type event or whatever the case, and I choose not to focus because I think there will be some of those natural disaster things going on and other things as well. But if you focus on that, I believe you bring that forward. And if you focus instead on what is potential, would you agree with that you can bring those things forward as well?
Well, absolutely. In other words, we you know, if we focus too much upon the doomsday aspect of this, then we essentially strengthen that if we get stuck in it.
Mm-hmm.
If we get stuck in a doomsday mentality, then yes, we contribute to bringing about doomsday. What's important for us to do, TJ, is it's important for us to, whatever, shall we say, whatever negative things are going on the planet. Certainly there's a lot of bad stuff going on the planet Earth right now being perpetrated by a lot of bad people. We need to be aware of those things.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to, it's important that we don't just stick our heads in the sand and pretend like those things aren't there. But once we have an awareness of those things, at that point it's necessary for us to detach ourselves from those things and essentially get our spirituality right, get our heads right, get our energy right. And that's where it all starts. And when we get to the point where enough of us do that, we're going to hit a thing called critical mass, which is a purely energetic thing. And once we hit critical mass in terms of our energy as a collective, it's at that point where we will have the power, you know, to move out of the old and into the new. But again, it's up to us. This isn't just going to happen automatically.
Right. And I hear some people, you know, some people might be listening and going, what do you mean by critical mass? And I guess the only thing, you know, they've done research like with monkeys and animals and like when enough of them seem to understand it, and it's not even a verbal communication. And obviously with the monkey, they can keep them in separate rooms. For somehow, when enough of them seem to understand what they're trying to teach them, the whole group gets it. I've read about experiments like that. So that might define critical mass a little bit.
Well, that is a good example of how critical mass works, yes. You get to a certain point where things just start happening, and they start happening almost as if by magic.
I think everybody
so
has...
So many people get it that it's at that point where things can really move.
I think everybody, and maybe not everybody believes this, but everything is connected by thought. Would you agree with that?
Yes. May I just simplify that statement even
sure.
more?
Go ahead.
Everything is connected to everything else, period.
Right.
As far as if we're going to work from a model of a divinely ordered universe, which definitely is the model that I'm working from, everything in a divinely ordered universe is connected to everything else energetically. I think the best model for this,
okay,
where the quantum physicists just had this so nailed as far as everything was connected energetically. And they weren't saying anything different. They were saying the same thing that, you know, ancient spiritual traditions have been telling us for, you know, thousands of years.
So we really all are connected through our energy.
Absolutely. Everyone.
And so somehow we're able to pick up, if we were truly in touch with things, I would be able to pick up everything you're projecting.
If we're truly in touch with things, sure, yes.
Apparently I'm not that in touch with it yet right now, Jack, but I hope to over this next break. Jack Alice from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, is talking on Out There. We'll continue to talk not only about his book, but we want to go down the course of dealing with the shift you had mentioned earlier. So we'll talk about some of that stuff coming up on Out There.
Out there.
If you're listening to this program and you don't know how you got it, let me tell you the address, the easiest way to get to this website. Now, you can go to thebraverinstitute.com, www.braverinstitute.com, and then you can find a link to this show and check out the other programs there at the Braver Institute. Or you can go directly to this show. Don't type in the W's, but instead just type in out there, one combined word, .podbean, as in string bean, podbean.com. And that'll take you directly to this program. And then, of course, we welcome you if you have comments or maybe you have a story you'd like to tell. You're more than welcome to. You can, you know, I want this show to be accessible to anybody. And I also want to respect your privacy. So if you choose not to release your identity, we totally respect that as well. This program is about people sharing personal experiences and, in some cases, some of my strange beliefs. We'll do that, too. Thanks for listening.
It's out there, out there, out there, out there.
My name is TJ Ryan. You're listening to Out There. My guest is Jack Alice. He's from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Actually, a lake. You live near a lake, don't you?
Little Okeechee Lake. I'm looking out over the...
That's a Native American...
at this moment.
Isn't it? Native American, Okeechee? What is that?
You know, I don't know what it means, but yes, Oconomowoc is also, there's a lot of Native America. There's a very rich Native American heritage.
You have a connection with Native American, too, don't you?
Pardon me?
You have a connection with Native American?
Big time. The Native American philosophy and the indigenous philosophies, not only of Native Americans, but, You know, when you start talking about indigenous cultures, of which the Native Americans, and how many tribes were there, probably hundreds of tribes, the Native Americans are only one, all the indigenous cultures from all over the planet, you know, cultures who live, you know, close to nature, they all basically have the same spiritual philosophy. Mm-hmm. It's all the same thing. Native American, they don't know each other. It's one of those hundredth monkey things, you know. It's just...
How do they come up with, for example, you know, many of them have a connection to, like, Sasquatch. They all seem to have some kind of creature that they're connected to.
Mm-hmm.
And how does it go? That's what I always wonder. How can it be from one tribe to another? It's not like they communicated across oceans, you know, to where they believe in these kind of things.
Well, but because they all get their information from the same source.
Mm-hmm.
And the same source is nature, the world, the natural workings of the world. One of the reasons why people in Western civilization, for whom so many of these concepts seem so foreign, seem so they just can't grasp on them, can't understand them, is the great error that Western civilization clearly has gone off track. I hope I'm not making a radical statement in saying that.
I don't think you're being too radical.
This is a crazy culture we're living in. This is a very, very insane, insane culture. But where Western civilization lost its way was it lost its way when it's lost its connection with the rhythm and flow of life and of nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the connection that virtually all the indigenous tribes and the Native Americans, at least those that weren't destroyed by Western civilization, that's the connection that they all kept. And the knowledge, the spirituality that comes from that source is the same for all of us. It's the same teacher, nature.
Exactly. And, you know, living up here in Upper Michigan, I think a lot of people see that, Jack. We're fortunate because it is, I don't know how many times if you've ever been to Upper Michigan, but it's pretty much all nature up here. There's mm-hmm. not a lot of population. And where you live, obviously you live in a very natural surrounding, I'm guessing, as well, too.
One of the things that I teach in my spiritual work, and maybe we should get into some of the spirituality parts of this in terms of, you know, how do we do that part as far as getting our energy right so that we can, you know, make
right.
this shift
we'll
happen.
Talk about that.
But one of the things that I teach in my spiritual work, TJ, is that the vital importance for everybody to spend time with nature and to connect with nature every day.
Absolutely.
Vitally important. Whether it means taking a walk in the forest or in the park, or if somebody's stuck in the city and they're just surrounded by concrete, it's really important for them to go, you know, sit in the window and stare at the sun and the clouds for an hour. However you can connect with nature, there is...
Get several plants.
As much as you can possibly do.
So let's talk about this. Now, we want to go down this road about what people can do to brace themselves for changes. Where do you start on something like this?
Well, we got two things here. We talk about bracing ourselves for changes, and then we talk about actually being empowered to do something with it. And they both boil down to the same thing in terms of how do we brace ourselves, in other words, how do we protect ourselves, and then how do we empower ourselves, you know, to take this changing energy and to use it so that we can, you know, create a new world, create a better world. And let's go down the ABCs of this in terms of how we get our energy right and how we do that. I've got a three-part mantra I'd like to share with people.
Sure.
And specifically, this three-part mantra is geared towards answering the question, how do we get our energy right? How do we get our spirituality right? How do we get ourselves protected and empowered so that we can make these things happen? And my three-part mantra is a very simple one, TJ, and it incorporates one of the things you said. You said it's all thought, and we need to get our thoughts together. That's part of it. Part number one to the mantra has to do with our vision. In other words, it has to do with how we see the world. And this is a mental thing, how we see the world. And let me just give the mantra, and then we can elaborate upon each step. So three parts here. One part is our vision, how we see the world. The second part is to be able to quiet our rational mind, to quiet the rational mind. And the third part is to know how to calm or relax our physical bodies. There are a few things in life, TJ, that are more important for human beings to know how to do than to relax their physical bodies. Nothing is more important than that. And if people want to say, well, you know, we're living in a world today where there's an awful lot of, you know, chronic sickness and disease and cancer and heart disease and on and on and on. It's just, you know, there's an epidemic of physical sickness in our culture today. Where does all this come from? Why is all this happening? You know, how can we make it go away? The primary cause for all of this stuff is stress, all of it. The fact that we have allowed ourselves to get energetically out of whack.
So you think just about every disease stress-related?
Yes, absolutely. Our ability to relax our physical bodies in their totality, relax our muscles and then to take it right from the surface, which is our muscles, and to go on inward and to relax our physical bodies is absolutely the one single key to achieving optimal health in life. There's nothing that's more important than that. Relaxation. That's one of the reasons why I see so much emphasis on things like meditation, yoga, and a lot of other kind of meditation types of techniques. Relaxing the physical body is exceedingly important, and it's this this state of physical relaxation also, which is the state in which we are optimally in tune spiritually. Now, anytime you talk to any person who channels, you know, spirit forces or Native Americans who have a connection with the spirit world, they will always tell you that they achieve those connections when they're in a state of great calm or relaxation. And the second part of that is quieting our rational minds. Another thing that has kind of gone amok in Western civilization.
Because they're always going to be interrupting, aren't they? A thought's always going to be popping in, and we can't really receive what we need to receive when we're always, things are going on?
Well, right. Essentially, what's happened in Western civilization is that our rational minds have gone so amok that our minds have virtually become a place where there's all this chatter or dialogue or this constant, you know, internal chit-chat going on. And most of it is geared toward not such healthy and good things. If all the internal chit-chat was all, you know, healthy and good, then it wouldn't be such a bad thing. But the internal, I like to call it internal dialogue, chit-chat that goes on within us almost always is related to putting pressure on ourselves, mm-hmm. doing more, I'm not doing it right, I'm inadequate, those kinds of things, which again are messages that we receive in this kooky culture we live in. So it's really necessary to be able to be aware of how we do that, to be aware of this process, of this out-of-control in internal dialogue. It's basically tapes that are running.
So if you're, for example, Jack, you're saying, if I have a thought process, if I'm always judging people, I'm always negative on things, or I'm always worried about the news, be aware that I'm thinking those things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if we're not aware of it, we can't detach from it. If it's not aware of it, we can't do anything about it. It just runs us. And that's one of the reasons so many people are out of control is because they've lost their awareness of their own internal processes.
Let me ask you this, Jack, before we run out of time. Is this by accident that we're out of control, or is this by design?
Well, there is a reason for everything, TJ. It is definitely not an accident. There's nothing in the universe is an accident. Everything happens for a reason.
Why are we struggling so much?
Well, we could go on for we could do a weekend seminar on why we're struggling. But let me give you two. I'm going to give you two answers to that.
All right, good.
To kind of get to the nub of the whole thing. You really can't make sense out of any of this without acknowledging the fact that one of the reasons that human beings are struggling so much is because human beings have been messed with. Mm-hmm. Human beings have been messed with. There's an awful lot of, and we don't have time to go into, you know, who's doing the messing and why it's being done. We really don't have time for that today because it's a complicated topic. But in terms of all the brainwashing that goes on in our culture today, and in terms of human beings being manipulated and deceived by basically the power elite, being manipulated and deceived into seeing things other than the way that they are. So that's part of it.
Some people would almost say that we've been enslaved.
Absolutely, we are enslaved. Okay. You and I aren't, but the culture in general, it's all about enslavement.
People would also say that this shift, this energy change, is an opportunity to break those shackles.
Absolutely, and that's where it begins. It begins with each and every one of us breaking our shackles. I've broken mine. I'm not a slave anymore. I'm a free child of the universe. I have broken my shackles, and I'm basically endeavoring to teach others how to break theirs, and that's where it all starts, TJ. But the other thing to mention, we do need to acknowledge that human beings have been messed with, and that's one of the reasons why things are so out of kilter. However, that's no excuse, because ultimately it is our choice we may not know better, but ultimately it all comes back to our lives, everything we do, it's all a choice. And we choose to have the lives that we choose. And so it basically it all comes back to us, and it all comes
would
back
you say,
to
Jack,
taking
would,
responsibility
I'm
for
sorry.
Our lives.
Would you say that we choose to be here? Do we choose to be born?
I believe so, yes. When you get into the whole reincarnational aspect of it and those things, yes. I believe that it's all a choice. But you get into some pretty high-level, you know, spiritual kinds of things when you start talking.
So let me ask you this, Jack, just to get off the track a little bit. And I know we're running a little, but don't worry about it. It's my show. We can go long.
All right.
Then why do we come here? Why do we come here?
Why did we come here to the planet Earth?
Yeah, why do we keep coming here? Why do we come here to begin with?
Well, why don't we just flip the question around and rephrase it a little bit in terms of why are we here? What's important in life? What really matters in life? What's the essence of it all?
Hmm.
Can we
sure.
go to that?
Okay. Sure.
The essence of it all, TJ, it all boils down to one thing and one thing only, and it's this. It all boils what's most important in life, what we're here to do, we as human beings, what we're here to do is we are here to connect with the divine spirit of a living universe, with our totality. That's what we're here to do, and it's an energetic thing. Once we make that connection, once we are able to make the connection with the divine spirit of the living universe and do it with our vibrational energy, at that point, the mundane affairs of third-dimensional planet Earth become much easier, much simpler. It becomes much more, once one makes that connection, it becomes effortless to manifest the kind of lives we want, to manifest our dreams, to be what we want to be, to fulfill our true potential, and from that, all the you know material goodies that come with you know with living in this world will also spring from that. But it's all about our energy. It's all about our vibration. It's all about being in tune.
That is our true direction. That's
what it's all about. Everything springs from that. That one,
and we've got off course, and we're merely trying to correct that.
We've become disconnected, and we're attempting to get reconnected again. That's what
Thank
it's all
you
about.
Jack, I'm sorry. You know, we're going to have to talk again, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Now, if you want to figure out a little more what we're talking about, maybe this is just completely something new you never heard of before, get his book. His book is really good. Do you have a website, too, we can talk about?
Yeah, let me get my website, and I can also suggest that people go to my website, and they can go to my links page, and if they want to get some other literature and read some other things, they can go there. But my website is www.jackallis.com, JACKALLIS.com.
Okay.
Please read Infinity's Flower, A Tale of 2012, and
Very
A Great
good.
Shift of the Ages. It's a short book, and it encapsulates everything we're talking about here. And if I was to give people one other book in addition to mine that really covers a lot of these things, it would be Robert Goswolf's classic book. It's entitled Last Cry, Native American Prophecies and Tales of the End Times. Mm-hmm. And Goswolf takes a lot of information from a lot of different places, mostly Native American prophecies, and ties them all together and summarizes all this very, very nicely in a way that is very much in sync with what people are hearing here today.
You know, I think a lot of people know something. Most people know something is going on and something is changing, and you can see it and you can sense it. And so this is kind of the direction we're going down. Jack Allis, thank you very much for being a guest on Out There.
Thank you very much, TJ, and I'd love to come back and just keep going here.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Jack.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.